Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my super fine wife, Bev.
On a wonderful Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. And today's Do Not Fear scripture is Psalm 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy.
Wow.
The word can bring us joy when we are upset.
On today's call, we're going to discuss, it's your character, not your checkbook balance.
All right. I like it.
Being rich, well, that doesn't make a person evil. I'm continually amazed at how many well-meaning Christians think that being rich and being evil are synonymous. So how do they explain Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Oftentimes, they cite Proverbs 28:6 is a justification for their poverty as good, rich is bad theology. That scripture says, better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. If you read that scripture accurately, you'll see that it's the perverseness that is being condemned, not the fact that they might be rich. The verse is condemning those who are perverse in their ways, even though they may be rich. And he's saying, don't let a perverse person off the hook just because they're rich.
That's right.
The word perverse is the Hebrew word H6141. H6141, it means twisted, distorted, crooked, perverse, perverted. In other words, a perverse person is a wicked person. However, nowhere in that definition of the word perverse do you find the words wealthy or rich. However, it does not exclude the fact that the words that make up the definition of perverse could also include a rich person. But it could just as easily reference someone so broke they can't pick up all the pieces. The idea that being rich was evil and being poor godly originated after the death of Alexander the Great. There were orders of monks that rose up who took vows of poverty. They were viewed by some as, some others as super spiritual because of this vow. The reality is that so many religious leaders did not want Christians following the teachings of Christ when it came to money. If people are poor, they become dependent upon those who are educated and have money. For centuries, it was against the law to own a Bible because it kept the people dependent. Upon the rulers who control the church.
That's right.
In the 1380s, John Wycliffe was instrumental in making copies of the Bible in a person's language because the church was not preaching the whole Bible. Theology that to be poor meant you were godly originated as a desire to control rather than deliver the children of God. Our purpose in this teaching is not to make an in-depth teaching on how prosperity was minimized, not condemned, on the basis of scriptural interpretation. Perhaps that will become a teaching on another time, if and when God directs us. Point of fact, Proverbs 28:6 offers a fairly balanced scriptural view of poor and rich. Please get a hold of this next statement. It's not your economic situation in life that counts, but rather your character before God.
That's right.
I'll say that again. It's not your economic situation in life that counts, but rather your character before God.
So, you know, we want to say it as clearly as we know how. Money can't buy character and godly behavior, but it certainly can corrupt it. And that's really what I think the scriptures are alluding to here, is to not let your money turn you aside from God. Poverty is not a litmus test for godliness, nor does it guarantee it. Poverty can oftentimes cause people to do things they really know they shouldn't. Poverty is, in the final analysis, should develop a dependence on God using his scriptures and, you know, without using it as a justification, use the scriptures to get out of poverty. But make no mistake about it, the Bible has just as many examples of righteous rich as it does the wicked rich. We were taught, well, for years, and it bears repeating really, that money is a magnifier. It just literally reveals what your character already was in the beginning. Money is neutral. We've taught this so many times. It in itself, when you pick it up, it doesn't say I'm evil or I'm good. A person in church, you know, who's going to church suddenly comes into a large amount of money. Well, does he still go to church or is he out on his boat at the beach on Sunday? The character reveals who he really was as a churchgoer before. So money is merely a revealer, a magnifier of who we really are. However, if a person who's a churchgoer suddenly becomes, you know, comes into a large amount of money and he chooses to remain committed to the church, then his character reveals that his heart was truly in and after the things of God. Money merely reflects what lives inside of a person, and money will definitely reveal it.
It will.
Yes, it will. Proverbs 28:6, Classic Amplified says, "Better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than he who willfully goes in double and wrong ways, though he is rich." Notice the last part of the verse says, though he is rich. The scripture is condemning, obviously, the wicked part, not the wealth. It's not the fact that the person may be rich, but the wickedness in their heart is what is being focused on in this verse. Money, as we keep saying, brings out who people really are on the inside. The verse does say that it is better to be poor, for heaven's sakes, than to be wicked. It says it's better to see a poor person who walks in integrity than to see a rich person who's evil. It's the character of a person's heart and not the balance in their checkbook, or maybe the lack thereof, that determines who they really are.
Two other things we feel led to discuss. A few days ago, I made the following post on Facebook. It said, quote, "Make no mistake about it. God is interested in your finances. If he wasn't, it'd be ridiculous for 20% of the scriptures to deal with money, wealth, finances, poverty, land, possessions, tithes, and giving. And yet they do. Psalm 35:27 says, yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of the servants."
Pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Now, when I made that post, there was one person who took exception. He wrote in part, "Money, unfortunately, has become a major distraction in our church today. The ones that have it will do anything to keep it. The ones that don't have it dream about getting it. God gives us everything we need. Will you mention the rich giving up worldly possessions to redistribute their wealth, even to eliminate poverty? They label it as socialism or communism. I call it true Christianity." So in response to that, I posted the following. We were blessed to be a blessing. No question about that. You can't bless anybody, help spread the gospel, if you're broke. So never presuppose that people that are rich, that the gospel isn't their first priority. And for the record, redistribution of the wealth is unscriptural and morally wrong. We have a revelation. Money is not a distraction in the church. Money may reveal the problem if it shows in a person's real character. But money itself is not the problem. Money in the church is why we can send missionaries to spread the gospel, or send young people to church camp when their parents can't afford it. Money will allow the pastor to rest because the church can afford to hire someone else to clean the bathrooms at the church. Hallelujah. Money buys electricity and heat in winter, air conditioning in the summer, so people are not distracted, can hear the word preached. Money provides a food pantry and clothing program for the disabled, the abused, the sick, and those who've lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm. You know, we choose to take the high road, in other words.
You gave me some good advice.
I did. Tell me about it. I like that.
You spotted exchange. You stopped the exchange with the following post.
Yeah.
"I disagree with your basic premise and your assumptions. The word doesn't talk about redistribution of wealth. that talks about giving tithes and offerings. I wish you well.
Yeah, you can't get into, well, arguments with people on the Facebook. They're going to have their own opinion anyway. But we can make ourselves clear. And for the record, redistribution of wealth is not Christian. It's not based on us being forced to do it. It's based on us wanting to be so in love with Jesus, we want to bless other people. While redistribution of wealth is socialistic and communistic doctrine, is irrelevant because the truth of the matter, we wouldn't practice anyway. It's unscriptural. And maybe we'll talk about that more on another day. The point of it is that we don't need to stereotype someone based on their net worth. People with a heart for the things of God can be found in every tax bracket and in every income level. It's actually a lot in the New Testament, too. There were people who came and laid down everything in the book of Acts for the cause of Christ. They sold everything and laid it down to distribute, laid it down with their own volition. In other words, they wanted to. And then there were also people who gave extraordinarily sacrificially in order for Paul to be able to take the gospel around. Said it gave more than they really even had to give. The Macedonians. So there is both levels. A person's character is not based on how much money they have in the bank. It's based on their priorities in life to Christ.
Yes.
And Acts 10:35, Classic Amplified, says, but in every ancient nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. There's no reference in there about money. So the verse just says character is not based on money. It is based on the contents of our heart before God.
So true.
And we will all make that, presentation before the Lord one day.
Amen.
As to what our life did represent and what we spent our time and our money doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Walking in our integrity before him, that's the important
part. We're expecting.
Yes.
This to be a wonderful Wednesday.
Yes.
We're expecting supernatural manifestation in our lives.
No matter where you're going and what you're doing today, the Lord be magnified through you.
We're expecting great things.
Amen.
Because of the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com if you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the word of God. We
Hallelujah.
Love you so much.
Yes, we do. Until then, God bless you. Happy trails. And we love you.